Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Come on.
Quick ask before we get started today. I am working to help people lead happier and more contented lives. My part of that is money. So if you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've enjoyed past episodes, please take a minute and leave a quick review on iTunes. Subscribe. That helps the show climb up the rankings and helps more people find it. So thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Chris Fliss. Chris, are you ready to do this?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Let's do this. Chris is a CFP. He is the founder and owner of Resilient Asset Management, and he is a veteran of the United States Navy. I'm excited to have you on, and thank you for your service, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.
If you would tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I was raised in Little Rock, Arkansas. We moved there when I was five. I graduated from Little Rock Catholic High School for boys in 1991. It's in its 90th year this year. I was accepted to the U.S. Naval Academy after graduating, and graduated in 1995. From there, I was commissioned as an ensign in the United States Navy, went to flight school, and I flew F-18 Hornets for well over 10 years. And in my time in the Navy, I lived in Japan for 6 years, Australia for 3 years, Guam for three, and I finished my last tour here in Memphis, Tennessee, after 21 years in the Navy. About 5 years before I retired, I knew I wanted to be a financial planner. This was a seed that was planted at a lecture I went to in my high school back in the early 90s. And I remember being introduced to compound interest at that lecture. And once you hear that, you either get it or you don't. There's not you don't really sort of incrementally appreciate compound interest. Before I left the Navy, I took and passed the CFP exam in late November of 2015. And then I founded my financial planning firm in 2016 here in Memphis, and earned my CFP marks a little bit earlier this year.
Well, congratulations on that, obviously. And I appreciate when people have the foresight to, when the light turns on, or however you want to describe it, that you want to get into the industry and help people to understand what can be kind of complicated and confusing things. So. Would love to hear a little bit about some of the lessons that you took from your 21 years in the Navy. If there's just some of the big lessons that you think have served you in your other endeavors since you retired.
Well, being in the Navy and being a professional pilot, you learn how important it is to adhere to routines, checklists, those kind of things, and how you have to incorporate safety and backup systems and survivability into all the things that you do. And the other part about the military is that you meet a lot of really great people in every branch of the military, but the naval aviation has a unique cut of society that is just a really remarkable group of folks to be around. And that forces you to raise the bar on yourself as you go through. And then there's the principles of dedication, service to one's country, giving back, thinking about a group of people and a mission that's beyond yourself. And as you go through the military, there's not a day where you just say, "Oh, I'm a dedicated American now." It just sort of happens over the course of time. And then when you look back on it, when you're finished, you're like, wow, this was a career and time that was very well spent.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. So, interesting. Yeah, I suppose you don't wake up one day and say, "Oh, today's the day that I became a dedicated American." Right? It's all been. I've been it the whole time, but it's certainly probably been a process. So,
exactly. Well, not every day is the best day of your life in the military. You spend a lot of time doing some things that are difficult, but most things that are rewarding in life have some degree of difficulty associated with them, and the military is no different. But like I said, in the end, you look back and you leave with some valuable experiences and training for yourself, but you also hold on to those bonds that you forged while you were in the military. And most of my best friends are people that I met while I was in the military.
Got it. So how do you take that idea of not every day is going to be an awesome day and things that are worth doing and having are going to be hard, and then apply that to financial planning, financial success?
Well, professionally, when I started my firm, it was like late 2016 when things kind of started rolling. So, and my son was also born in May of that year. So you start off on your own, no experience in the industry, although I did have some academic training and had passed the CFP exam, but no clients, no revenue. That can be some very, very dark days. And then when you go home, you're dealing with basically a newborn child that kind of, compounds. So discipline, dedication, things I learned in the military, putting one foot in front of the other, and things just sort of start to unfold and get better as time, goes on. You get more experience and comfortable talking to people. And the way that I like to do financial planning, I like to have a large, very high degree of service to the folks with whom I work. So that compounds over time. And then here it is 3 years later, and it's a robust, sustainable practice. And it just takes some time for it to sort of come into its own. But it came from a very, very humble and dark beginning.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate that. And from a client's perspective or a consumer's perspective, you can be in dark, lousy places where, doing the things, taking these small bites of getting out of debt or whatever it is not fun, and it can seem kind of hopeless. So how do you start with that? Is it just taking small bites? Is it having a big goal?
Yeah. So one of the most important things I think as a financial planner is you have to meet your clients where they are. Not everybody is going to be high earning. Not everyone is going to have a mountain of assets. But for every situation, there is probably something that the person can do to make their financial circumstances better. That may be as easy as just saving $10 a month when they weren't saving before, because I don't have to tell you, 10 is a lot higher than zero. Sure. When it comes to saving. If they have student loan debt or credit card debt or something that is causing them a pain point in their financial life, they have to make a positive attempt and to address that and to make that problem smaller. And then as you start to address it, then over time, you start to whittle away on it, and then you can move on to other things. So you have little successes with things that are causing the most financial stress to folks.
Right. And that's what really life is all about, is taking those small bites and putting one foot in front of the other, which you said, and then things do start to, for lack of a better term, kind of click a little bit. But it is important to start with the end in mind and to have correct goals.
Absolutely. And it's not realistic. There's a lot of analogies between, physical fitness and your health and your finances. If you are, haven't been exercising and have other physical things going on, it's not realistic to think that you're going to run a marathon this week. However, if you start by doing what you can do and work up to it, it is very, very possible that at some point in the future, depending on your circumstances, you will be able to achieve that goal. But you have to be willing to do the take those dedicated steps in between so you can get to your final goal.
And that final goal, do you think that, people sell themselves short sometimes?
Absolutely. I think that people dramatically overestimate what they can do in a short period of time. And I think they dramatically underestimate what they can do over a long period of time. And I go back to the example of whether you're trying to, eliminate credit card debt, or you're trying to save, or whatever it is, you may only be able to save a little bit of money every month. And it may not seem like it's very much in a short period of time, but over the long haul, those things are going to compound in your favor, and you'll look back and say, wow, that I was able to do a lot more over the long haul than I thought I was going to be able to do over the short term.
And it's got to be an important thing. You talk about the importance of routines and checklists, and obviously when you are flying an F-18, you need to make sure that everything is operating the way that it's supposed to. There's a reason that, the pilot, when one commercial airplanes, walks around the thing to make sure that everything's in place. When you're talking about what you were doing, everything is critical. And that's not necessarily the case for me or for most people out there, but it is super important just to be reminding ourselves on a daily basis of, this is why I'm putting myself through this tough stuff.
Right. And I think when you start something that at the beginning seems like it's kind of difficult, once you get that into your routine, I think this is a perfect example. When I started the financial planning firm with my son, who was really young at the time, something in my life was going to give. And for me, that was going to the gym, because I was working on my firm, came home from work, had to do my part of the child raising when I got home. Didn't leave a lot of time to go to the gym, but eventually that was not sustainable. So I had to get back into my physical fitness routines. So here in town, I was able to find a gymnasium that had childcare associated with the membership. So at the beginning, when I started taking my son with me to go to the gym, it was a new routine. It was hard to work that into my schedule, because financial planning, especially when you're working in the firm the way that I am, it can be very engrossing. You can spend a lot of time on it. So I had to make some boundaries. But now, since I've been taking my son to the gym for probably the last year and a half, it's embedded into my routines. So it's not as unusual when I do it. And we're all better off for it. My firm is better. I'm better. My son and I get to spend some time together going, to and from. It's really been a great thing. And I think there's a lot of similarities that people can do with their own personal finances and their life, for that matter, that are, quite similar.
Got it. So when we talk about financial planning, I think that it certainly requires process and checklists and routines. But if you would just give us your thoughts on what it really means to look at somebody's overall financial picture.
Well, for me, I am a 100% fee only, all aspect, financial planner. The financial services industry umbrella is very broad, and a lot of different folks fall under that umbrella. For me, I'm in the fee only space, meaning that I sell no products whatsoever. For example, insurance, related products. And I try to do much more than just manage investments. For me, I look at five main practice areas that apply to most all of the clients with whom I work. First is estate planning. Second is tax planning. Then I go into risk assessment, look at people's insurance coverages. I don't sell the products, but I certainly can comment on the coverages they have and recommend any how to fill any gaps they have in their coverages. Cash flow analysis as well, and then finally in investment management. And then if folks are looking for anything specific that's unique for their own needs, for example, self-employed retirement plans, that kind of thing, then I can craft some unique solutions to the problems that they have or the issues they have with those areas.
Nice. I appreciate that. So you obviously think that the way you're doing things is the correct way to do it. Is it a matter of it just makes sense to look at the aspects that we've just been talking about and how they all fit together versus just focusing, say, on investments?
Well, I think it's important to me, the way that I do financial planning. I think it's an end-to-end process that encompasses multiple areas. For example, I don't think, in my view, some people may see it differently. I don't believe that you can manage someone's investments optimally, or at least try to optimize them without having an eye on their income tax situation. Because those things are very closely linked in people's financial lives. So in my view, trying to incorporate multiple areas of one's finances makes financial planning a real art, because there are some cascading effects on multiple areas of people's lives, people's financial lives, when you're trying to manage their overall financial picture.
Got it. Well, I think that certainly makes sense. Yep. So you talked about how you lived essentially all over the world, from Japan, Australia, Guam, Memphis, and then growing up in the South. Those are all different places, and you talked about how the military provided you such a rich experience of meeting so many different great people from so many different walks of life and in different stages of their lives. And I think if I open up social media, if I open up Twitter, I want to pull my hair out because it seems like there's so many aspects of the world which are terrible. But at the same time, I know that there's so many aspects of our lives that are so good right now. And I also really think that informs the way that I behave, and certainly with my money. Do you have thoughts on how important it is to have a healthy perspective, and then how that translates to your financial situation?
Well, I think in the media especially, we are fed a steady diet of I wouldn't say doom and gloom exclusively, but there's a lot of opinion, a lot of people forecasting that things will be perhaps worse or not as good as they are today. And I think it's important that in the history of mankind, in my view, there's never been a better time to be alive. Mm. If you look at all the things that are going on well, that are going on in the world that are just going so well, they're just underreported. Medical advances, poverty. Now, granted, there are certainly some things that we can do better, that there's no doubt about that. But the strides that we've made just in the last century until now have been truly, remarkable. And, the best days of the world, and in the United States in particular, are definitely they're ahead of us. They're not behind us. And about that, I am absolutely certain about that. So I think when people are incorporating or they're going through their lives and they're looking at social media or the news or whatever it is, I think it's important to keep a healthy perspective and try not to lose sight of all the things that are going on in the world that are going very well.
Yeah, and that's certainly something that I think and talk a lot about just for myself personally, how it's so important to keep things in perspective. So, and to your point, there's good and there's bad, but I love it. Well, Chris, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
So the difference-making tip I have is that for folks specifically related to their personal finances, you have to spend less money than you make. That's just the iron rule of personal finance. And we can never forget that. You can distort that rule for a time via credit cards or other kind of borrowing. But at the end of the day, over the long term, your outflows that you spend have to be less than how much that you're taking in. And secondly, you have to figure out how to make money while you sleep. Because if you don't, you're going to be working for the rest of your life. And for most of us, that means you're going to have some of your money that you take in income that you commit towards investments that will grow for you over the long term. And that will give you the opportunity to have financial independence so that you can have control of your own time and focus on those things that are important to you.
Like, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Chris, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? How can they get in touch?
So for me, I am online. You can go to my firm's website at www.resilientam.com. On Twitter, I'm at resilientam. And then you can also email or call me. The contact information is on the website. One of my differentiators offered to my clients is accessibility. So if you call, you're most likely going to get me without any kind of touchstone menus.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Chris your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to resilientam.com. Check out all the great information, all the great resources that Chris has, and take him up and reach out to him. Thank you again, Chris.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course, and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.